B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Let's head to the Comcast Business Hotline. Bounce for you. Make sure you follow this man on Twitter, at Jeff McClain. Of course, does a fantastic job for the Philadelphia Inquirer, Inquirer.com, and he joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Bounce forward. Jeff, how are you today?
Hey, what's up, Andrew?
What's going on? I hope you enjoyed your Charlie Brown Christmas record. I saw the photo on Twitter. That was awesome.
That's a classic.
Yeah, exactly. So what else is classic is Doug Peterson clearly trying to throw Howie Roseman under the bus at the end of his press conference yesterday. That kind of the way you took it?
I mean, I don't know if it was clear. I mean, I think Doug started off by, you know, the question was whether he would want to kind of take on more of a role in personnel. And Doug certainly has a say. He factors in to decisions that they make on various players, specifically in the offensive side of the ball, but it's not like he gets the ultimate say. And I don't think he's been that much involved, but for him to kind of come out strong, at least initially in the answer, caught me by surprise. Now he reeled it back a little bit in by saying, I don't want to cross that line. I still want to kind of be on the football side of things, coaching the players, but he finished. Yeah. He wants to be part of the solution. So I think for Doug to say that was a little bit alarming because this is something that he'd been asked before, certainly after the Super Bowl. Typically what you see a lot of times, coaches win the Super Bowl and they ask for more say on personnel, or they start to have some success and they're asked to, and they ask to have more. And, you know, that was never going to be the case with Howie there. Jeff has long entrusted Howie to be in charge of personnel. He trusts him very much. A big reason why Doug was hired was because he wouldn't really be stepping on Howie's toes. But as you mentioned, you know, I don't think he was kind of throwing Howie in the bus as much as he was saying, you know what, I want to have a little more say in this regard.
Yeah, we played the cut a few times during the show today, and in the 27 seconds that he spoke, he had 9 variations of he wants to help, right? He said, I want to help, or I want to be a part of it. I want to be a part of the voice. I want to be a part of the consulting process. Like, he said 9 different variations of how he wants to help. So, Jeff, I mean, you've been covering the league for a long time. We obviously don't know the percentage pie of how much say guys have. But you look at Kansas City. Andy Reid has, what, 100% of the say, unless it's 99, and Brett Veach has 1% of the say. You look at the Philadelphia Eagles. Doug Peterson, if you could make a guess, is he at 25%, or is this the Howie Roseman, Jeffrey Lurie show?
I mean, Howie makes the final stays has the final say. Now, a lot of times what happens is, you know, you'll have the chief guys, and certainly when it comes to big draft picks or comes to big free agent signings, everyone weighs in, and you want to typically go with the consensus. You know, everyone likes this guy. All right, Howie makes his decision ultimately. Okay, let's go with this guy. But there's times where Howie will veto, let's say, 3 of the 4 guys. If Jeff's involved, if Jim Schwartz is involved in defensive player, if Andy Weidel, who's basically Howie's lieutenant in charge of personnel, goes in another direction, Howie may say, well, no, I see it this way. I'm listening to the coaches. I mean, I think that was kind of what happened with Jalen Reagor, for example. The scouts, Andy Weidel's staff had Jefferson as the guy, and some of the coaching staff didn't think that Jefferson would fit into the scheme. He's a slot receiver, typically a slot receiver in Doug Peterson's offense is a bulk catching type of receiver. They thought Reagor would fit more of a need on the outside, something that they needed, and Howie went in that direction. Ultimately, I think it wasn't the right decision. But that's kind of how these decisions are made. And so what Doug will, you know, maybe weigh in on positions that he cares more about or has more, more expertise with, certainly quarterback, sometimes with receiver. It's not, you know, a great portion, you know, how he runs the team, how he, you know, in terms of the roster, he makes those decisions. But I will say, I do want to say this, when Doug was kind of puffing his chest out about wanting more, I think there was also an ulterior motive too. I think he was just kind of throwing the onus a little bit on Jeffrey and Howie in terms of, you know, I don't know if he expects really to be given more, but I think he just wants to kind of throw it out there that this is something that he should want based upon how poor the roster that has been assembled the last 3 years has been.
So speaking of Jeff McClain on the Comcast Business Hotline, Bounce 4, you put out a great article yesterday sort of in response to what Doug Peterson had to say, and you mentioned in your story that maybe, and just maybe, Doug Peterson might also be welcoming being fired. Now, is that, like, do you really feel that way, that maybe Doug Peterson goes, hey, if I get out of here, because he's 2 years left on his contract, if I get out of here, I could go to a team where I have more say. Do you really believe that he might be welcoming that?
Well, let me go back to what I reported back in January. So Doug told Mike Rowe, offensive coordinator then, and Carson Walsh, the receivers coach, that they were returning. And then he had that press conference. He said as much. And a day later, he fired him. Jeffrey and Howie, they didn't technically force him, although I'm more and more under the understanding that that was basically what happened. But they called Doug in the office and said, hey, we got to go over these guys, and we think that Groh should go. I don't know if they convinced him or not, but Groh was gone the next day. But from what I understand was, when they found this out, Doug was very upset. He was upset that he had told Groh that he was returning, and all of a sudden he's got to go turn around and tell the guy that he's fired. Then they in turn said, okay, you have to go find replacements for Groh. Let's figure this out. We want to bring in outside voices. We want to bring in some fresh perspective to the offensive coaching staff. And at first they were really looking at the acolytes of Kyle Shanahan, but Doug had told them, I reported back in September, that he wasn't interested in any of the Shanahan guys. He didn't want to bring them into his office. This is a West Coast office, different type of scheme. I don't see it. They also brought in Graham Harrell, who came from the air raid offense that we've seen from Mike Leach, who's been all over the coaching map in college. So they wanted to bring in a new guy. I don't think Doug necessarily wanted that. So what we know about Doug is that he's not been particularly happy with some of the stuff that's been forced upon him, and to the point where maybe they're undermining him. And that makes me believe that it's certainly something that Doug would consider. Is maybe the best thing for me is to leave. Maybe, you know, the best thing is for me to go to another franchise where maybe my voice on coaching decisions, my voice on personnel decisions will be heard. And I'm not saying he's got something lined up, but you know, what happens a lot of these times is late in seasons when teams are jockeying for head coaches and looking at potential candidates. Those conversations have already taken place. I'm not saying that's the case here, but it's happened before.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Okay, so you mentioned undermining, and I wonder, obviously, that Mike Rowe thing, that was a complete disaster, because the very next day you have to put out the statement on all the social media platforms. But I got to ask you, Jeff, and I know that we've brought this up to you before. Anthony's, I got in Anthony's ear and he brought it up to you, because I have a sneaky suspicion that Howie Roseman has a lot of say, even in terms of game day decisions. And I want to get your feel for it, because there's a couple of instances, right? Like, the easy one is Jason Peters. They give him an extra $1 million. He goes out 3 weeks, but Mailata played well. And then you have to hear the dumb excuse from Doug. Well, maybe he'll learn more from the sidelines, so we're going to put Peters back out there. We all know the disappearing act of Travis Fulgham the second Alshon Jeffrey came back. And I'll even go back to week two. Week one, Jalen Hurts is not active on game day. All of a sudden, week two, Jalen Hurts is active on game day. And I don't really get what the difference of one more week of practice would have done for Hurts. Do you think, you know, Howie Roseman has his fingerprints on a lot of the stuff on game day decisions as well?
Well, I I'll go back to my reporting. Again, the story I wrote in September about the front office dynamic and how it relates to Doug Peterson. Howie is involved in the game day roster, for instance. And typically GMs aren't. And Doug has been willing to kind of accept that. You know, they have a conversation. I think Doug ultimately gets the final say there. But Howie's influence is certainly there. And, and then you look at the roster and you can make maybe those presumptions that he's influencing who's up, who's down. I don't think he necessarily says who's starting or not. But again, Howie has conversations with Doug all week about the team, about decisions that are being made. And sometimes you typically don't see that in the head coach GM dynamic on other teams, especially in season. The coach has full say over what he wants to do. In regards to the, decisions made of Peters over Mailata and Jeffrey over Fulgham, I mean, I could see to some extent why you'd go with those older guys, but the difference between Mailata and Peters, in fact, I thought Mailata had performed better, was not negligible. So that was kind of a curious one. And then Fulgham, I could see that a little bit, probably more than the other ones. I feel like too much was made. Fulgham did obviously have some success, but I think once teams started realizing what he could do and what he couldn't do, and they started playing more man defense on him on the outside, you saw a little more of his true colors.
Yeah, I mean, my thing is he went from playing 90% of the snaps to like 30.
He had a really bad game against the Giants. He got shut down that game. He played a lot of snaps that game. And then Alshon came back. Alshon wasn't playing a lot of snaps. I see what you're saying about Peters Malata. I don't see it as much as Jeffrey. Maybe I run faster him at this point. So, I guess you could argue that, make that argument. I don't see that as much with the Fulgham Jeffrey one, though.
Well, I know you're a big soccer player, right? So you probably move around a little bit better than Jeffrey, right?
Not anymore.
I would think so. I believe in you, Jeff. I really do. So let me ask, if you're Jeffrey Lurie, what's the best thing you do? Because also in your story yesterday, you sort of threw out the numbers of the regression. And on your question yesterday, Doug Peterson didn't really take too fondly of. He said, thanks for the confidence. He called you John. It was great. But the regression in terms of the team from Howie Roseman's standpoint and from Doug's standpoint as well, if you're Jeffrey Lurie, because it doesn't look like if you bring a new coach, Howie Roseman is going to be all that open to giving up his decision-making. So is it just best now to clean house? Either it's give the keys to Doug Peterson, which I don't think is the right thing to do, or to clean house, because if you keep Howie, he's still going to want to have his say.
Yeah, and these are obviously the big questions Jeffrey's going to be asking himself this week and next is, is this year an anomaly? Is this year, further regression that we've seen since the Super Bowl? Or is it, as I posited in my story, and I think maybe more of the reality is, was 2017 the anomaly? And this year just the low point of what we've seen over these last 5 years, which is just basically the status quo, an okay team. And then if you look at the big picture in terms of Howie's been the GM since 2010, it is 2017 anomaly in terms of the job that he's done. Because right. When you look at the records, Doug's under 500 and Howie's at 500. And that just obviously speaks to mediocrity or just a little bit below that. And that's the question Jeff's going to have to ask himself. And he's going to have to look at both of them and say, okay, who's more responsible for this? And then you got to obviously factor in Carson Wentz as well in his future. Does he look at the problems of the team and say, you know what, these are solely more on Wentz? It's hard to say that and not throw Doug under the bus as well, and then also not to throw Howie under the bus, because look, no objective set of eyes is going to look at this roster and say that Howie did a great job of surrounding Carson Wentz with talent. I don't think anyone's going to say that. As you mentioned, clearing the house is possible, because this is a systemic failure when you have a team that's this bad. And let's not mince words here. 4-11-1, or even 5-10-1 is bad, mm-hmm. but it's even worse when you consider the teams that they beat in 3 of the 4 wins were backup quarterbacks.
Yeah.
This division is among the worst. As I pointed out in my story today, in recent NFL history, the NFC East overall the last 2 years has been among the worst, or maybe the worst, since they went to 32 teams in 2002. So Jeffrey's going to have to look at all this and say, okay, who's the problem here? Or does he say, okay, I see this as an anomaly. This was just a 1 year blip. I feel like these two guys can get this team back on track, or I feel like Howie can get the team back on track with the new coach and maybe someone, to look at Carson Wentz or a new set of eyes and get him to play. Because when you look at that contract, it's going to be very hard for them to move him. Again, these are all questions, hard questions. I just wonder if Jeff is going to really plow deep into see. Really be honest with himself about why the team has gotten to this point.
There's a lot of questions. The one thing I do know is, Jeff, it's not going to be a slow offseason for you this year.
Nope, not at all.
Of course, man, we appreciate it. This is from Anthony as well. Happy holidays, man. Hope you had a good Christmas. Hope you have a nice new year. And thanks, as always, for joining us every Tuesday during the football season. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely, yes. Likewise to you. Thank you.
Thanks, man. There he is, Jeff McClain on the Comcast Business Hotline. Bounce forward. Follow him on Twitter, @Jeff_McClain. Put out a great story yesterday regarding the comments from Doug Peterson at the end of his press conference.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.